We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Instant reaction after the Yankees' rain-shortened dramatic victory on opening night 2020. Just how they drew it up, Scott.
I mean, what's up? Can you get any more on brand for this year at all? My goodness, that thing was, it was fun. It was a good game. It was good times. Best shape of his life, Giancarlo Stanton. Let's go.
I mean, the six innings were a good game.
Yeah.
Those were good six innings.
They were. It was fun. I mean, the score looked way worse. Like, Scherzer, when he was missing, he got hit. But other than that, the balls that didn't hit the bat, he was nasty.
Yeah, but, like, you can't really expect to hit Scherzer, just like you can't expect to hit Cole. Like, that's what happens. Those guys nut up, and they're going to strike you out.
That's the beauty of it. But they took advantage.
Right. They took advantage of the few mistakes that he did make. Stanton in the first inning. Judge later in the game with a RBI double. Tyler Wade, that toolsy boy.
Hey there. Look at him flying around those bases. This is the conversation.
Scoring from first.
This is the conversation that we had during the playoffs last year when Cole was pitching against us. Got to take advantage of those opportunities. Got to make sure you're doing these things. Having a guy on there like Tyler Wade who can run the bases. I love it.
Yeah. So all that was great. And you know, I said this in the recap video, but when I saw Cole out there on the mound in a game that counted, for whatever reason, it finally hit me. Like, oh, Garrett Cole's a New York Yankee.
Right.
And it for whatever reason, spring training, it didn't feel real. Exhibition summer camp, it didn't feel real. This felt real that Garrett Cole is now a New York Yankee. He is now our ace. He's no longer the Astros ace. He's no longer the Pirates ace. He is now our ace.
He was never the Pirates ace. He is now the New York Yankees ace, and I choose to not remember the team he played for last. The guy is he's just a consummate pro, man. You can tell the way that he works out there. He demands and expects perfection and just excellence, and I love it. I absolutely love it. So he's fun, man. It's just something about that voice. The voice is the only thing. I
had a really good game and we went over there.
It's like, it's so funny. It's just, you don't expect
put him in
it.
This,
as soon as he opens his mouth,
I'm soft spoken.
Like, oh. Every single time he opens his mouth, I'm like, damn, I forgot about that. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah. And I was thinking this during the game. Did you notice both pitchers working really quickly?
I noticed the game was going fast until it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like the six innings were going by fast. Yeah. And I was like, huh, I wonder if this is just how these pitchers, you know, work. Or is it a no fans thing where for whatever reason, no fans, I can work 5 seconds faster because I don't have to worry about the 50,000 people in the stands. It's not up and down crowd noise. It's just a low hum of the fake crowd noise. It's none of that distraction to worry about.
I don't think that's a distraction anyway. Like, these guys don't hear that stuff. They tune it out. So no, I don't think it really had anything to do with it. Excuse me. I think this is just two guys that get the ball and know what they're doing and work quickly and don't like to dick around. They get to the mound and they get their sign because they're not flipping through signs because the catcher's not flipping through signs with these guys. Either one of them, they know exactly what's about to happen. They put it down, and they go. So
it was a product of the starting pitchers, not a product of what I was hoping was new 2020 baseball, quick moving action.
No, it fooled you. It was the 6:35 time. It fooled you.
Why? I mean, I'm watching this Giants Dodgers game, and it's in the fifth inning already.
Yeah, Cueto's working quick too. Cueto is actually fun to watch right now. He was doing some wiffle ball stuff, just like, you know, doing that half turn and then stalling on the way up and then giving him 93 miles per hour.
It's pretty
fun. I forgot. I haven't seen him pitch in a while. It was, I watched a couple innings of it. Pretty fun, actually.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, all that was great. And as far as like a what happened on the field, there's nothing to complain about. other than the fact that it was a rain delay, which it's like, of course there was going to be rain. Of course there was going to be lightning. Of course this game was not going to go off.
It could have been worse because that rain could have been there at 6:35 and then we never would have played. Did you see how much water was in those dugouts? I've never seen that before.
Where are the drains in those dugouts?
Yeah. What is happening with the dugouts? Why do they just collect water and water stays there?
You can do laps in those dugouts.
Doesn't the water, even if there are no drains, like go into the clubhouse? How does it stay in the
dugout? I was amazed by that. I was absolutely amazed by that.
In the clubhouse and there was water coming up also?
No. This is not the Oakland Coliseum. This is a new ballpark. The Nationals ballpark is new.
I don't understand how the water could not escape. I don't get it.
Drainage, Scott, drainage.
I know, but there are stairs that go to a clubhouse. Like, there is an open area. What am I missing here?
And that's a reason why, because of the new rules, once the game goes five, it's official, no matter what. And they said they're going to call the games quicker because they don't want guys lingering around the clubhouse, hanging around each other. So I thought they were going to have a quick hook on this game, and they really didn't. They didn't call it for 2 hours.
Yeah, I still think that if they see a very clear opportunity to play when the storms are leaving, then they will wait. It's not like anybody's waiting at the stadium. It's not like they're inconveniencing fans at this point. So you might as well wait. I mean, if you don't want to watch it and go to sleep, because otherwise there is no baseball.
The rule book states they're not going to do long waits for players and training and all that stuff.
What does long wait mean?
Well, there's no actual time.
There you
which
go.
Is,
what if we had a very patient person that was making
right,
that
no,
call?
But it's just crazy that they say that. No, we're going to avoid long waits. Okay, well, if you don't put a time stamp on it, then really, what is it?
It's an opportunity to do whatever they want based on the reports. So again, there's no people in the stands, so who cares? They could delay the game for as long as they want, because after the sixth inning, it's either going to be a final game concluded, that's it, no more baseball, or there's going to be baseball. So you either go to sleep and watch the same amount of baseball as if it were canceled, or you stay awake and watch more and you get rewarded for staying awake. There's no real downside in waiting unless you're the people there and the people are working.
Well, it is the people there, because we have a situation where Juan Soto this morning tests positive for COVID, and he's been hanging around his teammates for the past 2 days, which is when he took the test on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
So in theory, a guy could have COVID and hanging around a clubhouse longer than he needs to. It's just worsening your odds of somebody catching the virus. Yeah. That's all it's doing.
I'm just talking about us as fans, really, at this point.
Well, us as fans, no, they never do anything for fans. Baseball is anti-fan.
I'm still wondering about the water in the clubhouse and how the water stayed in the dugout. Like, was the
where does it all go?
The clubhouse must have been flooded, right?
It's almost like they just plugged the drain, like on a sink, like Kemp. Like, Kemp
you
got into the Washington
drain,
Nationals.
But what about my theory? Explain to me the stairs going to the clubhouse.
What if the clubhouse stairs are up?
There's still a down.
There's a down, but maybe it's up.
There's not. There has to be a down first. So there was that much water in it that it flooded that area too. That's a lot. That's a lot of water.
It was a flash flood.
I can officially say that there's a drainage problem in the Nationals Park. They have a drainage problem.
Good investigative journalism.
Yeah, I mean,
Scott.
A doctor, field maintenance guy, whatever you want to call me. That's a drainage problem. That is a problem.
Scott doesn't want to talk about Garrett Cole only giving up one hit. Scott doesn't want to talk about Giancarlo Stanton looking good.
I'm just so used to not talking about real baseball. I guess I got into a groove of not doing that, so I have to find other things now. Giancarlo Stanton looked like an absolute animal. The swing looked beautiful. He definitely does look like the best shape of his life. I was not wrong on that.
Shape of his life team.
And he also looks like he's on a mission to destroy the world. And I love it.
You also don't want to talk about the fact that Brett Gardner was hitting fifth behind Giancarlo Stanton, because you got to break up those right-handed hitters.
Hey, he protected him. That's exactly what he did. And look what Stanton did. Nobody wanted to face Brett.
And Tyler Wade got the start because DJ is not ready yet. Boone had mentioned he's going to get into a sim game off Monty at some point over the next few days. Mm-hmm. So he's available off the bench, but I guess not ready to start.
He's also off the COVID 10-day list, so that's a good thing. And then just getting his body ready, you know? We call him the machine. He is a machine, but there's still flesh and bones under there, we think, potentially.
Yeah, and
Tyler Wade looked great.
He did look great.
Walked,
he got
took
on
a
base.
Big walk. That's a good walk against
and bunted.
Huh?
Walked and bunted.
Yes, again, exactly. That's all I want him to do. Everybody's complaining about his offense at times. Okay. I don't want him swinging the bat I want you to get up there and bunt every single time or walk. There's no other option, in my opinion. He should be the best bunter in the league.
What
Seriously,
did you
he
think?
Should be the best bunter in the league. Like, there's, if I'm Tyler Wade, I am working on my bunting, and I'm going to be the best bunter in the absolute in the league. It makes so much sense. He's so fast.
You know the Korean baseball bunting championships? Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to
go train with them in the offseason.
Right. I think I already said this at some point in the 9 months we were podcasting with no baseball. I think I said this, but yes.
I blocked those nine months.
I did that. I was doing it on my hands, like counting how many months it's been since the last time. It's 9 months. Holy.
Is it really?
November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July.
Yeah. Without real baseball, because I guess you could count spring training.
No,
February,
I'm counting last Yankees baseball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah. So, and the fact that they had a rain shortened game, I think Cole was at 75 pitches when the game was called. Maybe they would have pushed him up to 90 pitchers or so. But they saved the bullpen, and there's a bullpen day on Sunday. So they got it. I mean, this is good news, I guess.
This is good news. I mean, we're setting this thing. Now, actually, things have changed. The 60-game sprint has changed now that they've opened up this playoff. They expanded the playoffs. That's a big deal. The fact that they added more teams to the playoffs, and now there's, eight teams per league, right? So that means the first two teams in every division makes it, and then there's two more on top of that.
Well, it's the second place team automatically makes it. That's like a wrinkle to it.
Yeah. Right. So the first two. So basically, the Yankees and Tampa are
it's a double division race in every division. It's really bizarre how they did it.
I kind of look, as a Yankees fan, I don't like it because I don't care about the other teams. I wanted just like a tight, fun thing, and that this kind of got rid of that. Honestly, I feel like this actually would have been good for a regular season of, you know, 162 games. But when you're compressing it now into 60 games, like, this was playoffs, essentially. We were going to have the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks of playoffs anyway, because it was so tight. And now you're adding another. You're actually now taking away from what this could have been if you had just left it the way it was.
You're exactly right. You're now making the 60 games a formality because all of the teams that should be in the playoffs are going to be in the playoffs. More than half of the league is in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's actually dumb.
Shocking.
But I mean, like, this, now is the time we do this? Why?
Well, they're using this as an opportunity to just slide stuff into 2020 because they can.
They also want to expand something beyond the 60 games. That's the other thing. They're getting more people paid.
Right. More playoff money.
Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And there's, you're going to hear this later in the episode. We recorded bold predictions before the season started, before the game tonight. And one of my predictions was under the assumption that the top teams in the playoffs would pick their opponent, because that was reported by Buster only at some point this afternoon. I guess that got thrown out the window. And now it's just,
you should
based
know
on
better
seeding.
To take any tweet ever from anybody.
I feel like Buster's a trustworthy source.
They're all full of
garbage.
It. They're all looking for it. Yeah.
No,
I mean, that would have been, nice little wrinkle. It would have been a nice little wrinkle. And then now you're adding just, you know, more teams that, you know, potentially now we could have someone who didn't deserve the championship get in and get hot, which is, in this particular season, to me, yeah, you diminished what we were going to see in the sprint, which would have been a lot more fun, I think, in the last 2 to 3 weeks.
That's a great point. And people are saying they hate it for a number of different reasons, but that is the best reason to hate it, is it's taking away the one positive that we were all taking from 60 games.
Yeah, because now this race between the Yankees
it's
and
just
Tampa
a setup
is nothing.
There's no race.
There's no
Both
race.
Both teams are going to make the playoffs.
Both teams are going to make the playoffs.
And now the Red Sox are like, oh, we might be able to sneak in.
Right. And it just takes away from those games that were going to be like cutthroat. They were going to be playoff games, essentially.
Now you can mail them in.
You can. You don't have to. I mean, you don't have to. You can't mail them in, but you're. It's not live or die anymore, like it was.
If you go 5-5 against Tampa, like,
fine.
The Yankees are taking that all day.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah,
I mean, and now they're what? They're jockeying for position for home field with no fans. Like, what's the point of that?
Right. So you don't have to get on a plane or a train, I guess.
Yeah. Woo.
And the first round, as long as you're one of the top half seeds, you play your first three games at home, which the Yankees are going to be. So there really is no incentive here. You're just de-incentivizing the entire thing, and
they just made it the NBA, whereas the regular season just doesn't count, and they're going to do load management at the end, and now we're going to see the, you know, minor leaguers play at the end of the 60 games.
You're basically going to use this 60 games as a practice for a round robin tournament in October.
Right. You just got to stay above the fold, essentially. Stay above Boston and Toronto,
and you're cool.
Good.
It's cool for teams like, say, the Blue Jays or the Red Sox or the White Sox or the Angels, those teams that were like borderline.
The fringe teams, yes, I agree. Like, this is a potential, this is a season that Mike Trout can make the playoffs.
But he could have made the playoffs anyway, because they have, you know, if Mike Trout hits 390 this year and just goes on a tear, and he carries them to the playoffs, they could have done that in 60 games.
I'm just saying, it's a better opportunity for a guy now, like Mike Trout and that team to make. As a Yankees fan, when you're looking at what this, it didn't matter. This doesn't affect us in any way. All it does is bring fringe teams away. Because now we have to make sure that we take care of business against Toronto and Boston, rather than taking care of business against the one team that was really a threat.
You know, I was actually really looking forward to those 10 games against Tampa.
And they just screwed it all up.
Like, I was going to be like, oh, these 10 games against Tampa, these are going to be 10 October baseball games. Yeah. Nope, not anymore. Just go 5-5 and don't get injured.
Basically.
I guess the other thing I want to talk about is the pregame stuff that happened. And Boone had said at some point this afternoon that the Yankees were going to do a demonstration of their own, and what we learned, what that meant, is both the Nationals and the Yankees did a demonstration where they held the black ribbon. All players on the roster around the baseball diamond held the ribbon, took a knee while there was a moment of silence. And, you know, I thought it was a cool moment, a very effective moment.
Yeah.
And it seems like something that's going to be happening across baseball, because the Giants and the Dodgers did it in their game too, so I'm expecting it in every game tomorrow on Friday as well.
Yeah,
and
it seems like it's definitely a league-wide coordinated effort, unless it was just for the first night, which I doubt. Teams are doing it too. Yes,
it's an opening day thing, and you know, Mookie Betts took a knee, and other guys took a knee too in the Dodgers Giants game. But Mookie Betts, you know, there was that image of Bellinger holding his shoulder while he was doing it, and the cardboard cutout fans in back of him while this was happening, which is
they just look real, you know, in pictures.
And no Yankees took a knee during the anthem. No, I don't think any Nationals took a knee during the anthem. But I thought overall it was a good ceremony. Good, I don't want to call it a ceremony. It was a good demonstration.
It was a good way to make a point for sure, and raise awareness for something that's important. So yeah, I thought it was well done, and yeah, if that's it, if that's what they did, I know everybody was, a lot of people were speculating on what they were going to be doing, and you know, if people were going to be taking a knee during the anthem, and they decided to make it a separate thing. I thought it was, they were going to do something, so I thought they did it effectively.
Do you think that's kind of a cop out? Like, no, you know, because the taking a knee during an anthem is a controversial thing for some people. They can't separate the fact that some people think you're disrespecting the country, when in reality you're just using this as an opportunity to express general wrongness in the world that's going on. And it's not about the flag, it's about right and wrong. But people can't separate that. A lot of people can't.
I think that they identify it as an opportunity for making a stance with a lot of people watching, and it has nothing to do with the anthem necessarily, because there's now going to be eyeballs focused on a different time. Right. So they did it together, did it coordinated, and I think made even more of a stance by doing that together, because it was a unified, you know, thing that everybody did together. So
yeah.
I actually thought they did a good job with it.
Yeah, and it's a powerful image. Like when you see all 60 of those guys kneeling on the field holding the black ribbon, it's a powerful image.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And Dr. Fauci threw a flat curveball.
My God, that was bad. that one's up there with the
50 Cent.
Yeah. The 50 Cent one's worse just because there's people there and like.
But he did that on purpose.
Sure. And this, I mean, that one was terrible. Really bad. I like you lose credibility in my mind. I can't look at you the same after I saw what I saw. You know what
sometimes
I'm saying? Like,
you see
there
someone...
is something like that. When I see you throw a ball, whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. What it doesn't matter your job, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're throwing a ball and you have a ball in your hand, you're about to throw it. The way that you throw it, I'm judging you 100%.
Sometimes it's jarring how unathletic some people are.
You don't, and also.
And uncoordinated.
He did not practice throwing a ball. Okay.
How do you not practice?
Just throw a ball like 10 times beforehand, man.
So I don't, I don't want to get political. I really don't. But did you see that the Yankees, it was announced today that Trump's going to throw out a first pitch at Yankee Stadium?
I saw the tweet about it. Yeah.
And Mariano was at the stadium, at the White House.
I thought that was a photoshopped image, honestly, when I first saw it.
Well, was it Photoshop?
I have no idea.
Did I get duped?
I have no idea.
Oh, because I think Trump was playing catch with Mariano today.
Did you just make that up? Did you just make assumptions?
I saw pictures of this.
Oh, I have.
It could have been Photoshop.
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't on Twitter much during the day, but that was, the first time I'm like, wait a minute, what? Like, what? What's happening? Why is he standing right there? Like he was about to come in the game.
Fauci, bad first pitch. Probably one of the most watched first pitch ever, right?
This is the first time there's been live sports in a very long time. And this baseball, in fact, was the first sport that came back. We were all back and forth a thousand
sport,
times.
Team sport,
correct. And it was prime time on a Thursday night. So yeah, I think a lot of people saw that terrible throw. A lot of people saw it. It was bad.
Well, the Yankees are 1-0 on pace for 60-0. Stanton's on pace for 60 bombs. Judge is going to hit like 667.
I mean, so. He looked coming out, just hitting the ball, like stroking up against Scherzer. Looked really.
What are you talking about?
Aaron Judge looked really good coming out.
He did have a bad at bat with the bases loaded, though. First and third. He had a bad at bat in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
One out, could have driven the ball trying to get a sac fly or something.
Yeah, he was 2 for 2 before that. Two lace balls to the left side. I loved it. Looked good, looked confident. And the one thing I loved about the Stanton home run was he was expecting that pitch. I mean, that was all him knowing what happened in the at-bat before. Scherzer wasn't locating. And he was looking for a pitch that was out over the plate because Scherzer wanted to get ahead of it. And he found what he was going for and he smoked it. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that he was able to, you know, if this is Stanton, when Stanton's really on, he's a guess hitter, right? He's like, he's similar to the way A-Rod hit in the sense that he's looking in zones. And if you're not there, he's probably not going to swing or he's going to not look great. But if you go into his zone and he's on, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. And that's what happened. So if that's the guy that we get who can, you know, look at what's happening, you know, identify the situation and then, you know, have a pretty decent educated guess of what's coming and pick a couple, you know, pick a zone, be ready for it. If he's able to make contact and hit that ball hard on a consistent basis, he's in for a huge season.
I'm glad you brought up A-Rod. Did you listen to any of the rain delay coverage of Vasgersian and A-Rod?
I tried not to. I heard a little bit of the beginning of it, but I was, come on.
No, I know. But like at one point they were talking about, they had up the top like 5 or 6 World Series odds teams.
Oh, I saw your tweet about this, yeah.
and Vasgersian asked A-Rod for his pick and he picked the Dodgers Yankees and Vasgersian was giving him a hard time.
Gold standard. Like, oh,
those are the two top teams. Like, well, who's your sleeper team? And he goes, oh, you know who my sleeper team is? The Astros. The Astros are my sleeper team. They're the third best odds. So he literally just took the top three teams. He doesn't understand what sleeper means. It means off the board, surprise team. Like, take something a little bit further down. Take the A's. Take a wild card.
We just expanded to 16 teams in the playoffs.
It could be like anybody. The Orioles could make the playoffs now for all we know.
Yeah, he's like, he's on your side of the bold predictions. You know, he's just
great segue.
He's going for it right there, man. He's definitely the guy who picks all the number one seeds in the bracket, no doubt. Every single
in the March Madness.
Yeah, he's got every single number one going.
No, he'll take one like number. He'll take like a number nine over a number eight.
No, I don't think so. I think he's got number ones in the final four every single year. Every single year, and it's probably in the finals every year. It's probably Duke and UNC.
Well, that's a good segue into the bold predictions. So the rest of this episode, Scott and I go through our four bold predictions because he couldn't come up with five because
it's a shortened season,
as you'll learn. But why don't you tell people if they want, because sports are back, where they can get on some good old-fashioned betting action.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is finally kicking off this week. As we know, there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, Bet Online. They've been with us throughout the entire pandemic, and they're still with us. We appreciate them. Go check it out for odds, futures, props to bet on, all available 24/7. On the entertainment side, Floyd Money Mayweather joins the Bet Online team to bring you a brand new segment called The Ice Is Right. Floyd talks about all his jewelry and gives you the chance to bet on the cost of his bling to win some great prizes. That sounds
great. Really?
That's some great content right there.
I have not seen this copy yet. That's amazing.
Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. Bet Online, your online wagering experts.
All right, here we are. This is the bold prediction segment of the episode. We're like 6:15 before first pitch. We're like the Players Association and Major League Baseball deciding right before the season starts that they want to expand the playoffs. So here we are. We're doing our bold predictions. We want to get it on record. It is 6:09 p.m. on Thursday, July 23rd, before the Yankees have even played 1 second of regular season baseball.
Andrew may be the most negative person I've ever met in my life, but he's an honest guy because he was very, very hell-bent that we record this before the game, even though whatever happens today is not going to affect anything I say, just so you know.
Well, I got so much shit from you and from people last year on my predictions, on our bold predictions, and you said I didn't.
They were fugazi. They were horseshit.
Yeah. You said I didn't take it seriously because predictions are like assholes. Everybody has them and they're all shitty.
Well, mine were.
And that's what predictions
mine
are.
Not, my, mine, hello. Mine were not, actually. They were.
You hit
spot
one
on.
Because of.
I hit more
you
than
hit one.
One
because of super baseball.
I hit two.
And LeMahieu hit over 20 homers.
I hit 17 and two, and I hit DJ LeMahieu hitting home runs. I'm a savant.
Mm-hmm. You hit 17 and 2, even though I have it on record and have tweeted the video of you saying undefeated.
No, that is actually factually not true.
Do you want me to resurface
Please.
The video? I will after we record Terrific. This. I can't move my hand because then the microphone's going to make too much
well,
noise.
Maybe
but you
maybe
said
I knew
undefeated.
That.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. You already heard us maybe 10, 15 minutes talking about the first game of the season. We're not going to do an instant reaction for every game, but we wanted to do it for the first game. We're both excited for first pitch tonight. But our bold predictions. You want to go first or you want me to go first?
You could set the tone. I got mine. We're doing four of them, just to be clear. We're doing four bold predictions because I couldn't think of a fifth one. And it's a shortened season. And I'm going to steal your joke right now. You wanted to do 37% of five, yep. Which is less than two. And
1.85.
There you go. So now we're doing yeah. four instead. Which is
that's what predictions warrant is making a mockery.
A healthy
of it. So
compromise.
Here's my first
unless
one.
You're right.
Prediction number one: Miguel Andujar will start less than 30 games. Excuse me, 20 games. I said my wrong prediction. Less than 20 games.
We'll start less than 20 games. No position, just period. Yep. Let's start than less than. Does D
starts
so DH does not.
That's that would be a okay. start, but he's going to start in the starting lineup fewer than 20 times, which is 1/3 of the
right.
season.
Okay, I mean. I'd say that's pretty close, honestly.
Yeah, if like the over-under is, I put it right around 20, 19 and a half. And my My reasoning for this is he's not the starter on any position. He's behind Gio at third. He's behind Voit and Ford at first. He's the sixth outfielder, and he's the second, maybe third DH. So it's like, where is he going
to
get
the only reason
starts?
He'd be the third DH is if someone needed to get into the lineup. Otherwise, he's clearly the second DH, I'd say.
Stanton's the first DH, but I almost feel like they would rather use that day as a floating, right. Get Judge a day, half day, get Sanchez a half day, rather than start Andujar.
That's what I'm talking about. On a depth chart, he would be number two, but situationally, right. He would be number three. But here's the other side of that. If he were to be the number three, or because of that situation, he would probably be playing the field on that day too.
That's possible.
So theoretically, that's two-thirds of the games that he could be in, which I definitely would go over on your prediction. I think yours is low, but
mine's also the fact that I think Gio's going to have, even if he's like a slightly above league average offensive player, he's a far and away better defensive player. So I think they'd rather have that in the lineup. I just find it difficult to see where they're going to squeeze him into the field because of his poor defense.
I think that if his bat gets going immediately and he starts off hot, then we're going to obviously see him stay in the lineup in some capacity. And that's just going to how everything is about his bat. Like defense, that's just getting him in the lineup on a given day, essentially. Like whether it's at third base, first base, left field, wherever they put him, it's basically just to get the bat in the lineup. So if he starts off hot, that's going to be a big thing for him. If he starts off slow, he's going to have struggles to get in. They're going to use him as in like big spots, pinch hitting, and DHing when Stanton's not DHing. So yeah, he will definitely struggle to get in the lineup and in the game period if he does not get off to a hot start, I think.
All right, that's it. What's your number one?
All right, my number one, in no order either, just really in the way that I put them down on paper. Number one, Aaron Judge.
That's called the list.
Yep, Aaron Judge will hit 20 home runs.
Whoa.
On pace for 60-ish, close to 60. 37% is less than 30, is more than 33%. So yeah, 20 home runs on the season, Aaron Judge. That means we are giving away 20 T-shirts in the regular season because he has been voted as the T-shirt time player of the year, which is fitting. I look, it's a shortened season, so I was like, we got to put some of the big bats in there. There's no doubt we got
to
get some.
This is the time to do it.
This is the time. Even though Glaber went nuts, and when we put A-Rod in years ago, he went nuts for the last time of his life. That was just like a slap in my face as he went out of the game. He's like, you know what? I'm going to hit a whole bunch of home runs.
One last parting gift to you. Yeah.
Here you go. T-shirts.
That would be huge. That would, I feel like 20 would definitely lead the league in homers. That's a shit ton of homers for 60 games. Also because I don't think he's going to play in 60 games. So you're talking about like 54 games or something like that.
That's part of my prediction. Then I think just because it's a tie to this, right? It's that if he's going to hit 20 home runs, that means he's going to be in the lineup. That means he's going to be on the field. So I do think that's kind of where I'm going. Like, I think Judge has a lot to prove with the fact that he can stay healthy throughout the season. And I think he knows that. Granted, you can't control how you feel if something weird happens, obviously. But I think, I don't know, I'm feeling good about that. So that would definitely need him to be in the lineup. If he misses any time, that prediction is completely gone.
One week with that rib injury is bothering him or something like that. 1 week missed, and then you're not going to get that. So, yeah. But you have a chance if you got another Super Bowl.
This is baseball. We're not talking about football.
Super Bowl. Super Juice Baseball.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
All right. Number two prediction for me is Mike Tauchman will start more games than Brett Gardner.
Okay. That's wrong.
It's a prediction.
It is a prediction. You're right. Do you have a number in your mind? You must.
More.
But you, I mean, must have a, more. You must have a number in your mind.
No, because I think they're basically going to be platooning the two of those guys. And so whatever the number is, 31 games, and Gardner starts 29. But what I'm saying is Mike Tauchman is going to take over, essentially, the third outfielder job from Brett Gardner. And the reason I think this is because I think his 28 home runs last year were 100% a product of the juice baseball. And otherwise, he just was not a very good player. He hit home runs, so his overall numbers looked pretty decent. But he had a pretty low on-base percentage. He had a low batting average. He played good defense, but he always plays good defense. But guess what? Mike Tauchman plays better defense.
He also stayed on the field. He also stayed on the field the entire season, which is something. Yep. And also did not really have that second half dip that he has been prone to have. You know, because he stays on the field, because he plays so hard, we've seen, I think, some of the wear and tear get to him towards the end of the season, and we see like significant dips in offense. I don't think we saw that as much. He was relatively more consistent. Well,
but it was a weird offensive year for him because he was a home run hitter last year. He had 28.
Everybody
home runs.
Was a home run hitter last year.
Right. But he had a .325 on base percentage. That's not that good.
Yeah.
But in passing his career, he's been a productive offensive player because he's had like a .350 on base percentage. Sees a lot of pitches, walks a lot, can steal bases.
That's what happens when you try to hit the home run, man. You strike out a lot more, too.
That kind of hitter. So I think that his home runs are going to come back down to earth, and I don't see all of a sudden his other numbers increasing at this stage in his career. And I think we saw a little bit of what Mike Tauchman can be. I'm buying into
one
that.
Month.
Maybe I'm buying the hype on Tauchman.
Yep.
And he can play. I think also he's a probably they rather have Tauchman in center behind Hicks than Gardner at this point. Just from a durability and health standpoint.
Yeah.
But
well,
so that's where my prediction is based in.
Let me ask you a very random question, but also based on Brett Gardner, if you could think of the first Brett Gardner home run that comes to your mind right now, what is it? Right now.
First Brett Gardner home run.
Say it.
Like literally
none. Any of them.
Minnesota Twins 2017 wild card game.
Okay. The Wrigley Field home run is the one that always comes to my mind for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's a huge
that's the
home
first
run
one
too,
that, that's but, the first one that always pops in my mind. I was thinking that as soon as you said his name.
See, I wasn't because he's not a home run hitter. I don't think.
I think Brett Gardner.
Home
I
runs
think home
when
runs.
I think of Brett Gardner. When I think of Brett Gardner, I think of weird shaped bald heads.
Some would think of banging a bat against a dugout roof.
Did you see the Yankees put out a kind of a hype video today, like the Yankees did from their Twitter account? And they had like a little bit of a very short highlight from each player, and they had a highlight from Brett Gardner that had to have been from 2010 because he had hair. It's like, what are you choosing this
the best
for?
Pictures,
you could have picked.
The best pictures of Brett Gardner are the ones where he's standing in front of like a jet. I mean, the old the pictures. Yeah. I've put them up on social before. They're
so random.
They're awesome. He's in like a suit standing in front of like literally a jet because Brett the Jet. Full head of hair. Just looks, you know, I think he's probably just out of college at that point or damn close to it. Pretty funny.
It's like you could have picked, like you said, you could have picked the Wrigley Field home
huge
run.
Huge home
could
run.
Have
I mean,
the,
that was
the
like
wild card home
one
run.
Of the biggest nut up home runs I've seen in a while.
You know what I think? When I think of Brett Gardner at bats, I think of the Game 5 Cleveland. Awesome. Off of, who was their closer? I'm drawing a blank. Allen.
Yeah,
yeah,
Cody
Allen.
Yeah.
He had like a 9-pitch at bat off Cody Allen to give the Yankees some insurance. That was massive.
Yeah.
But I don't think random 2010 highlight when the dude has some hair buds.
All right, here we go. Bold prediction number two on my end. The New York Yankees will go 10-0 against the Baltimore Orioles. And and the New York Yankees will go 3-0 against the Florida Marlins, which makes them 13-0 against the dog shit teams of the 60-game sprint.
Classic. I mean, you had to make that prediction. And at least you are owning up. Like, we're going to clip this.
I mean,
and when they go 9-1 against the Orioles,
zero losses.
When they go 9-1 against the Orioles, and you say, no, that's what I really said. I meant 9-1.
I said it would be a disappointment. I said it would be a disappointment if they lost any games last year. That's what I said.
Any game. So 13.
You tried to bully me into saying zero. I said two. I had it written down. I have proven that. Anyway, this year, 10-0 Orioles, because every single day we're better. Like by a lot, by so much. We're better by so much that the AL East preview you did with the Orioles guy, you're like, dude, I got nothing to say to you. Like, I don't actually want to talk to you, but you're in the division,
no.
So we're talking.
Not that I didn't want to talk to him. Actually, Connor.
Nice
is,
guy. Not,
he's
not
been
nothing against.
Nice guy.
Nothing against
talked
Connor.
To him twice. And like, we were in the first time we did the preview talking about some old school Yankees Orioles stuff. Like, I had more fun talking to him about that. But after 10 minutes of talking to him about this year's team, I'm just like, dude, I'm out of questions. I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, none of this actually matters.
So the only thing that might foil your plan here is that the Yankees finish with the Marlins, and if they already have something locked up, they might just punt the last game.
Yeah, that's true. Even on a punt day, our depth is so much better than both of those teams. They should win.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. Yeah, if they do not go undefeated against those teams, something's
wrong. It would be a disappointment.
My third prediction is that Michael King will be the Yankees' Swiss Army knife of pitchers this year. And I think he's going to have about a 3.75 ERA on the season. And I think he's going to get significant time starting, opening, being the second guy in an opener, bullpen day, whatever the frick you want to call it. He's going to be the Swiss Army knife.
Okay. I mean, all right. This is kind of a mail-it-in prediction, if I'm being
How
honest.
How is that a mail-it-in prediction?
You're predicting that he's going to be a Swiss Army knife. I don't even know what that is.
I said 3.75
ERA. Okay, so you went specific with the ERA, which is like a, in the 90s, like a decent pitcher's ERA. Like today, that's pretty good, actually, in a juice ball era. But for a reliever...
He's a ground ball pitcher, right? Mm-hmm. That's great for fly ball
Fantastic.
Era. Keep the ball on the ground. I think he's going to have a lot of success, and I think I don't know if he's going to start or open in the third game of the season. Boone hasn't exactly said it yet, but he clearly did enough to impress them and make the opening day roster. And I think he's going to, like last year, you had a prediction about Luis Sessa, kind of a similar prediction. I think Michael King's going to supplant Sessa as that role.
That's bold. So here's the other thing. What percentage of this prediction has to do with you actually being in Rhode Island? Him from Rhode Island, you guys have that little bond.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. I texted him when I saw that he made the opening day roster. I said, congrats. And he answered me saying, thanks. So a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's nice and I like him. So
well, there you go. All right. Well, at least you're honest. All right. My number three prediction. Mike Ford is going to steal the first base job from Luke Voit.
Wow. That's kind of like my prediction with Gardner and Talkman.
Yeah. This one's more defined. Yours is based on starts.
What is yours based on?
Talkman can play all three outfield spots, so that's why. Mine is purely...
But they can also start at the same time.
Right, but mine is... Exactly, so they're not head-to-head competition is my point. Luke Voit and Mike Ford, it's either one or the other.
No, but it's also kind of one or the other as a starter unless injuries for Gardner and Talkman because Judge obviously isn't going anywhere.
This isn't about you.
And Hicks isn't going anywhere.
This is not about you. This is about me.
So lay out why you think Mike Ford is going to take over the first base.
Because I think that Mike Ford is going to be one of those guys as we look back similar actually to how we look at Luke Voit. He's a guy who's peaking later in his career. He's got the left-handed bat that they've been dying for. And I just think that I think that he's going to become a better player. I think he's hitting a level of confidence and just, you know, comfort level and just flat out the talent is starting to show with Mike Ford. And I just think that if things were even on the Yankee side going into a season, both guys were doing the same thing, they would pick the lefty.
I agree with that. Because you see in the lineup tonight, Gardner's batting fifth, and there's no way in hell that he should be batting ahead of Gary Sanchez in a lineup, but he is because of that left-handed batter thing. And if you put Mike Ford in there, who actually had a really good, you know, short sample size last year, has legitimate power. I don't think juice ball is the reason why he hit the home runs that he did last year.
Look at him.
He's beefy.
We said he's thick. Remember, we had this debate too, if he was fat thick. Or thick. Yes.
He's THICC thick. I agree from that standpoint. Yeah. They're kind of similar offensive
they're very similar players.
Profiles, mm-hmm. except left-handed, and that does
and they're play a huge pretty factor. Close defensively as well, honestly.
But how many times are we going to be fooled by a left-handed first
base? Well, see, here's the difference. There's no hype here. There's no hype here at all. Mike Ford is a workman. He's a Jersey. He went to Princeton. That's a little bougie, but
Ivy League.
He's the guy that had zero hype. Same with Luke Voit. Luke Voit has. They're both kind of like the workman type guys, right? So I don't want. It's unfortunate because I think both of them are the kind of guy you want to get behind. But I see Ford going on another level, whereas I feel like we've already seen the best of Voit.
I mean, a separator
just a gut,
might
just
be
like a gut thing for me.
Is that a fat joke?
No.
A separator for them might be whoever takes the next step defensively.
Yeah, I just don't think either one of them can take that big of a step to make a difference, honestly, but between the two.
Yeah, maybe not. They're both pretty bad.
I'd say Ford's less bad. His footwork is better.
I don't know if we've seen enough sample out of him at first base, but
the fact, but I mean, the that fact would, that he's a, I like the fact Ford. That he's a lefty first baseman also helps
huge.
Him.
Huge. I mean, huge. Yeah. It's
so
huge.
I think the literally because he is a left-handed hitter.
But do you know the answer to this? Does he throw left-handed?
I should know it, but I don't. The thing is that when they see a lefty over a righty, there's just that inclination to go to it. Even if the numbers don't even tell you anything.
Well, the numbers do tell you anything. What do you mean the numbers do tell you something?
No, I mean between...
He throws right.
But yeah, that blew my argument there. But I mean between the numbers between...
I thought he did. I wasn't positive. So I was like, I think I got to call.
Well, you saved us a couple of emails, so that's fine. But the fact that what I said about the numbers, meaning the righty to lefty splits in a lineup... don't add up to what everybody believes they are. That's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked by that because...
that's a good one, right? Admit it. You kind of like that one. I could tell you kind of perked up on that one and you liked it.
I mean, it's similar to my Talkman-Gardner thing, really which you shit all over. See, I don't shit on your predictions. I entertain your predictions. You just immediately call me a moron.
No, I called you a moron for your Swiss Army knife one. I didn't say anything about the other one. That's you just being self-conscious. Your negativity bleeding into your own brain.
My fourth prediction, and I wrote this before it was officially agreed that the expanded playoffs were going to be a thing this year, but they are, which means 8 teams per league. We'll break this down in a later episode, probably Monday's episode, but there's a lot of funkiness with this. But part of this is that the 3 top division winners get to pick their first round opponent.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
So I think the Yankees are going to win their division. Meaning they're going to be able to pick their opponent.
They're
going to
pick the Twins.
And I think the Twins, who are essentially the 2006 Yankees, all offense, no pitching, are going to take a step back this year, not win the Central, but still make the playoffs. And the Yankees will pick the Twins as their first round.
Don't want the Yankees to pick the Twins because we've destroyed the Twins, owned the Twins, any word you could possibly have.
Never lost to the Twins.
But we've also never chosen the Twins because of that. And when you do that, there's a level of I don't know. I don't like the way that feels. But
well, they're gonna have to choose. So how do you avoid this? You can always play that card.
But the Twins one is so glaringly obvious, that card.
It is, I agree. But the only way to avoid this scenario for any team going forward is say the Yankees get the best record in the league and they get first pick. The only way to avoid that is to pick the worst record in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Otherwise, the team can say, oh, they think they could beat us. They don't think we're anything. We're going to show them. That's going to be the card. And in fact, that team is still going to do that, even if they're the worst record. Right.
Yeah, no, there will be bulletin board material, no matter what. If you're chosen, you're now like, oh, okay. You chose me. You want this? You don't think we're good? Do I amuse you? Like there's a lot of things with that. That's a good one. I like that. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. My
fourth and last prediction.
My fourth and last prediction feels incomplete is, I guess that's kind of the motif of the season, right?
Feels incomplete. 1.85 would have been better, but fine.
I actually don't love this prediction. I don't like the way it feels because the numbers are so low because of the 37%, you know? But I'm going to do it anyway. J-Hap has a resurgence and wins 6 games.
6 games?
6 games feels so like a I really want
like a 17?
I really wanted
like
to
a 16-17 game
I
winner.
Wanted to say 7 games. And I'm going to say 7 games. So this will be...
That's a 20-game winner.
I know. That's a bold prediction. 6 games didn't feel good to me. I felt like I was copping out, honestly. So I am going to go 7 games. Let the record state 7 games, not 6. I predict
well, I know
that
that seven games. Well, I know 7 games about 7 games is the equivalent of a 20 game winner. It's also not because how many times have we seen guys have a good 2 months and win 7
games? I just told you that before we recorded. Aaron Small is the first thing that comes to mind when I think that.
10-0.
Yes, 10-0. But so that's why the prediction feels like I feel like I have to go with a higher number.
So I'm going to get, so maybe you need to extend this prediction and predict what is his fate for next year with the Yankees?
I mean, I'll comment on that because I don't think he's going to get a, if he's seven and if he wins seven games this year and the Yankees do well and he does well in the playoffs, that's going to change things. So it depends on more than just what I said, but
I don't know. We don't know when the arbitration and the, and all that kind of stuff, the agreement has to be in place. It might be before the end of the season. So
I don't, and yeah. I also, yeah, that's true. And I also don't know what next year's market could look like for guys like him, because now when you look at the market, it's high. So he's able to get that, you know, that high, that, that contract in the high teens, right? I think next year is going to be different. I think they're going to definitely, the players are going to feel what happened this whole year in their wallets on deals like this. They're not going to get the $17 million deal that he was going to get. Like, so I think that if this thing goes to an arbiter, because I don't think they're going to agree nicely. Like, I don't think Randy Lane's going to like, yeah, $17 million. Here you go, Jay. You would have definitely hit in 165 innings. Like, yeah, let's go. I'm going to give it to you. This is what we were going to do anyway. Well, I'm going to give you the money. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to offer him $9 million. And Jay Happ's going to look at that and be like, shit, I'm 37 years old, 38 years old at this point. I had a good year. Who knows if people think I can replicate it. My best bet is probably to go to an arbiter with the Yankees and compromise. And he will land at like $12 million. And that's where I think it'll be, around that.
But he will be back.
I think if they can get to around 10 to 12 million and he agrees to it, then yes, I think that's what they will offer him. It depends on if he accepts that.
I'm assuming, this is a total guess speculation, that if they don't come to an agreement, there's some sort of buyout involved. And I don't think...
Why would there be a buyout if there's a team, if there's an option based on performance? All of that is gone. There should be none of that.
For him, but it's not gone for everyone.
But for him is what I'm saying. We're talking about him, are we not?
You know, I know that, but so...
Why would there be a buyout? Because
if they can't come to an
then
agreement,
he's free to sign somewhere else.
No, actually, then it goes to an arbiter, and the arbiter decides what his salary is on the Yankees next year.
The arbiter,
so it's like he has to come to the no matter what, he's back with the Yankees.
Well, what you're saying is the arbiter, if it comes to an arbiter, which I'm not sure you're right on this, actually, they have to accept.
That's what Rosenthal reported.
They have to accept what that guy says, or what?
Well, arbitration is normally the team controls him, and in this case, it's a gray area. I have no.
This is not this is not the arbitration process. This is just a guy who's being a.
I know that
a go-between.
So I guess he could turn it down and then hit free agency.
That's what I think would happen in a free market in this country. I would assume that would happen based on the original contract terms and those being thrown out.
I'm glad we talked that.
Yeah, that felt good.
All right, that's it. Those are the predictions. Those are the four bold predictions for this season.
It's 6:35. Game's coming up. I gotta go get Kemp hyped up. I gotta go do a video so that people see him hyped up. I'm gonna use him as a prop. And then we're gonna watch some Yankees baseball. Look, I'm very excited. If you can't tell, this entire
the game's already happened at this point.
But it doesn't matter. The tone of our I feel like we have baseball to talk about, like real things that are happening. And that's freaking awesome. So yeah, people are going to hear after what we feel after this game. But as of 25 minutes before the game, I'm psyched.
So as far as
I'm going to need you to limit your negativity and what's already happened before this.
Ah, fuck off. No way. As far as our schedule over the next, you know, whatever week goes, we're going to be doing those preview podcasts for all of the teams. No Nationals preview, as you may have guessed at this point, since they are already playing the Nationals, but there's a Phillies. I talked to a Phillies guy that'll be out soon, and then regular Monday and Thursday episodes going forward. Submit all your mailbag questions. Light up the voicemail line again. Let's bring that back from the dead.
646-480-0342. I'm right. Lou Gehrig, Mariano Rivera. Babe Ruth, Mariano Rivera.
Babe Ruth? Okay. We're all just shaking off the rust.
Look, man, it's been since what?
October.
What
like
was the day?
19th
the last,
or 20th
the last episode
or something
we recorded
like that?
Was outside Yankee Stadium. No, that wasn't the one.
No,
it was. They were
playing in Houston.
So it was. Was that the one that I spilled milk all over my keyboard? That was the year before.
That was the year they lost to the Red Sox.
My memory is so jacked up from freaking Corona, and I haven't even had the virus.
The weirdest thing is that you were drinking milk at like 1 o'clock.
I was having cookies. I had to have milk.
Child. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.